All right, so next up we're going to have Kurt Brown, who is a researcher at the Gulf of Maine Research Institute and a lobster fisherman, and probably also a veterinary man for some of those.
as you mentioned earlier, chemists and physicist God don't really understand each other, and that made me feel really good because I didn't have Larry, and I don't understand chemistry or physics. I don't think Susie invited me here for my understanding of ocean acidification, but instead asked for more of a perspective from the lobster fishery. And
you might want to speak up a little bit.
Speak up a little bit? Can do. So I think Susie asked me here not for my knowledge of the ocean acidification, but more to explain the significance of the lobster fishery here in Maine and some concerns and questions lingering on the horizon. So if you go to just about any harbor here in Maine, this is what you're going to see. Lobster boats on moorings. Harbors full of lobster boats. And when these lobster boats aren't sitting on their moorings, they're out on the water hauling traps. These traps, these lobstermen are hauling traps trying to catch lobsters. The lobster fishery here in Maine is strictly a trap fishery. There's a minimum size, a maximum size. You can't keep lobsters with eggs. If you catch lobsters with eggs, you have to put a V-notch in their tail. That means any lobsterman that catches that lobster in the future can't keep that lobster. Small lobsters that crawl into the traps can get out through vents. You can see that black, this area right here, this is a vent. So only small lobsters that crawl into a trap can get out through there. Trap basically works this way. You put bait in the trap, you set it, the lobsters crawl in, they do a little dance, stand on their tail while they're eating. They can eat upside down with no hands. All the lobsters come in and tell them to stop showing off. And eventually we come back, haul our traps, and keep what's legal and bring it in and sell it. And as you can see, over the past few decades, lobster landings have increased dramatically. It seems like year after year, the lobster fishery here in Maine is setting records for landings. 2012, this past year, was another huge year for us. We landed over 120 million pounds of lobster, which from a lobsterman's perspective is a good thing. And fishery independent data at all different life stages also indicate that lobster population, these increased landings are a good indicator that lobster populations are increasing. It's not just increased landings, it's that lobster populations are increasing as well. And while this is a good thing for lobster, it may not be such a great thing for Maine in general. There's a real lack of diversity in terms of our fisheries here. This is preliminary commercial Maine landings by live pounds, and you can see 40% of that is lobster. So there's a real lack of diversity here in Maine, and if something were to happen to the lobster fishery here in Maine, a lot of coastal communities would be in real big trouble. In 2012, there were almost 4,500 active commercial lobstermen, over 1,500 clammers, and another 1,500 or so fishermen reliant on other species that have some form of calcium shell. So this just shows how vulnerable we are as a state to the potential impacts of ocean acidification. But what do we know about changing pH levels and how these will impact lobsters as we start to deal more and more with ocean acidification? As I mentioned earlier, I'm not a chemist. Unfortunately, a good amount of my understanding of chemistry in recent years comes from the television show Breaking Bad. All I know is that pH levels get real low, we're in big trouble. And if you don't know what this is referring to, don't ask. But we do know where we're at now, and we know that if we continue burning fossil fuels at the rate we are, where we're going in the future. And somewhere along this trajectory, it's going to be difficult for lobsters to make and maintain their shells. And that's something we really need to dig into. And I tried to dig into some of the literature dealing specifically with lobsters, and as was mentioned earlier, there's been some research done showing that lobster larvae grow a lot slower in acidified waters and end up smaller than lobsters reared in normal or current pH levels. There was another study done 2 years back by Reese et al. Down in North Carolina on a number of different crustaceans, and actually showed that a lot of species of adult crustaceans grew faster with lower pH levels. And this this research got picked up by the Washington Post and another number of other outlets through the AP, and it was kind of sensationalized science. The title of the article was Ocean Acidification Supersizing Blue Crabs. And it started off by saying, crabs are bulking up on carbon pollution that pours out of power plants, factories, and vehicles and settles in the ocean, turning the tough crustaceans into even more fearsome predators. Anyone who's ever tried to pick up a blue crab would know that making them even more fearsome would be pretty bad, not a good thing. It continued, the study found that crabs, lobsters, and shrimp grew bigger more rapidly as carbon pollution increased. Chesapeake blue crabs grew nearly four times faster in high carbon tanks than in low carbon tanks. This seems a little counterintuitive to me, and I'm sure a lot of other people in this room can speak to it more than I can. But after reading that, I couldn't really find too many other papers dealing specifically with lobsters, so as an ecologist, I went to my old stomping grounds, and that was looking at parallels between lobsters and crayfish, and found some studies done on lakes up in Canada that showed that when pH levels were dropped from about 5.6 to 5.4 over the course of 6 years, recruitment failure occurred and local extinction in certain ponds happened. Totally different environment, but a useful parallel. And I think that would be a good start for us in terms of my questions and concerns. You know, where is that tipping point in the marine environment for lobsters? And I would think that larval lobsters would be the place to start. We should do some more studies in terms of lowering pH levels or how larval lobsters do at different pH levels. And gain a better understanding of that, because that's where I would bet lobsters are most vulnerable. And then repeat some of those studies that Reese did with lobsters in temperature ranges that we're seeing here in the Gulf of Maine. Adult lobsters actually do better under more acidic conditions? My guess would be no, but it would be valuable to know. And then expanding that out, ocean acidification isn't occurring in a vacuum. We're also seeing much warmer waters here in the Gulf of Maine. And over the past few years, here's our small lobster that I was supposed to show when I was talking about larval lobsters. Here's our bigger lobster that I was supposed to show when I was talking about bigger lobsters. And now I'm caught up. I've been seeing more and more southern species working their way into our waters here in Maine. Here's a black sea bass right here hanging out with a lobster in one of my traps. These are a couple scup I caught this summer. Been also seeing a lot more triggerfish, a lot more tautog, and a good number of other species that really over the past 2 years I've seen more of than I have my entire career as a lobster. Shell disease is another issue that we're dealing with. Not as much here in Maine as they are in southern New England, but it's on the horizon. We're seeing more of it. How is ocean acidification going to impact lobsters already fighting off shell disease? That would be another really pressing issue, I would say. And given it, you know, the importance of the lobster fishery to Maine, I was surprised when Susie asked me to dig into this, how little I found, how woefully inadequate, I would say, our understanding of ocean acidification impacts are on such a valuable species. As lobstermen here in Maine, we don't have anywhere to go, so the more understanding we can gain, the faster we can gain that understanding, the better chance we'll have of of sticking around. So with that, thank you very much. I had the unenviable task of standing between you and lunch, so I'm happy to take any questions.